No one in Greater Cincinnati should be sitting at home alone in their room for the next several weeks while Cabaret is on stage at the Cincinnati Playhouse. The production of this legendary musical, which opened last Thursday on the Playhouse's main stage, has been directed by Broadway veteran Marcia Milgram Dodge. We're lucky to have her here for a visit on Around Cincinnati tonight. Welcome, Marcia.
Hi, nice to see you.
Nice to have you here. I understand this is not your first time to be working at the Playhouse. Tell me a little bit about what you did previously.
I was here back in 1994. I choreographed a production of Dancing at Lunasa and a new musical based on Merry Wives of Windsor called The Merry Wives of Windsor, Texas.
I remember both of those productions. They were wonderful. Today you're busy both as a director and a choreographer, but apparently from what you're saying, you began your career as a choreographer.
That's right.
When did you start directing? When did you move to directing?
I started directing around 1991. I was given an opportunity to do a production of Ain't Misbehavin', Virginia Stage Company, and it seemed a great step to doing that because it was so choreographically based in terms of a musical review. And my husband was also a big encourager of me taking that step. I feel like a lot of my heroes started as choreographers, people like Bob Fosse and Jerome Robbins and Michael Bennett, the logical progression to becoming a director.
You've made a very logical and successful progression, I think, because you've been doing a lot of directing. Your 2009 staging of Ragtime, which started at the Kennedy Center and moved to Broadway, was highly praised, got a Tony nomination. Tell me a little bit about how you choose the projects that you work on.
I wish I was the one choosing. The life of a freelancer is sort of at the mercy of what people offer you. And I've been lucky that I've been offered some amazing projects. I have relationships with theaters around the country. Every now and then, I suggest something and maybe it does actually happen. But mostly, artistic directors plan seasons. Hopefully, they keep me in their roster of directors that they want to have back. And that's how I've built my career over the years regionally. I was lucky because Ragtime came after I had done two productions of other Aarons and Flaherty's projects. I had done a production of Once on This Island that they both saw at a 299-seat theater in Sag Harbor, Long Island. And then right after that, a production of Seussical became licensed by TheaterWorks USA, which is a children's theater company, and they requested me. So I got to do that, and then a couple years later, they called and said, we'd like you to do Ragtime. So I basically get offered the show, and I'm sort of the girl who can't say no. I'll say yes to just about everything, yeah. And unless it's a scheduling problem, because if I don't know the show, then I want to find out about it. If it's something I've already done, I want to investigate it again, revisit it. And I've been given the opportunity to do lots of world premieres as well.
Well, I understand that you've done Cabaret previously. You did a production of it in Los Angeles, is that right?
That's right. Jason Alexander called me up. Would you like to do Cabaret at Reprise Theater Company? But the catch there was we had 6 days of rehearsal in the studio, and then we went on stage and opened about 9 days later. Hmm. So getting that show up was kind of...
Was it a fully staged?
Fully staged.
Oh, my gosh.
Orchestra, everything.
Holy
I don't God. Even know. It was sort of a dream. And then when I got this offer to do it with St. Louis Rep and Cincinnati Playhouse, I was so excited about being able to spend time in the rehearsal room and really develop it more. And I brought in a new design team so that I would stretch myself and wouldn't just rely on a remount. I'm more interested in making new discoveries along the way. So
yeah.
It was a real great opportunity.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Cabaret. The show was a big Broadway hit a long time ago. 1967 was when it was on Broadway and a Tony Award winner back then. And it's set even further back in time in the 1930s in Berlin. I've read a little bit about how you immersed yourself in Christopher Isherwood's writings that inspired the show, and you researched the cabaret scene in pre-war Germany. So obviously you know the history of the show.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about Cabaret that makes it meaningful to today's audiences?
Well, that's this kind of sad, bittersweet thing about the show, is that we're dealing with a very volatile political climate. We were teching the show during the government shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always at a precarious place in our political history. And hopefully nothing like this would ever happen again, but we know what's going on in Syria and what's going on in other third world countries are impacting us as Americans. So the political awareness, what I think is that there's no way to see this show and not have in the back of your mind what's going on today. And even internally with our own red state, blue state sort of mentality. I mean, we just have conflict constantly. So what I did with this show was dig into the relationships and try to really find the meaning of these characters and Cliff wanting to find something to write about and Sally wanting to pretend because something obviously was quite bad in England where she came from that she's covering and covering and covering. And then the tragic love story between Fraulein Schneider and Herr Schultz. We really dug into those relationships so that hopefully the audience will leave feeling like they got to know these people a little better. And at the same time, there are definitely symbolic and big choices that I made with the MC and the way that his numbers comment on all of the action in the primary scenes as political cartoons.
Yeah, that's something that I wanted to ask you about because in some ways it feels a little bit like two shows almost. There is the more naturalistic elements which you're describing between the characters, and then you go into the cabaret and suddenly things are kind of surreal,
even though
Sally's goes back and forth between them. You want to talk a little bit more about how they relate to one another?
Yeah, well, what we did with the design, Michael Schweikart and I and Angela Wendt costumes and John Lasseter lighting and Mark Menard sound, is we tried to create the Kit Kat Club and tell the story in the Kit Kat Club. So everything happens on stage. And it's kind of like holding a magnifying glass up to a relationship and putting it front and center. And so we've merged the worlds. And I really like to do things that include the audience's imagination. So it's up to them to really fill in the blanks. They'll know when we're in the boarding house. They'll know when we're really in the club. But the MC is really pulling us into this story and then showing us who these people are and then making very provocative and satirical commentary on what's happening.
So he almost becomes more than just the MC in the club.
He's the MC of the whole evening. Mm-hmm. And we even tried to humanize him and give him a backstory and give him relationship. There's not a lot written between him and Sally, but I believe, and so do the actors, there is a relationship there. There has to be. They work together at this club. And then there's this character of Max, who's very present in Sally's life, but doesn't have one word of dialogue. So we really try to investigate all of the people that inhabit this world and give everybody context and relationships.
People who are familiar with this show may know it from Broadway or most particularly probably from the movie with Liza Minnelli in it. And those are iconic performances. I think from what I'm hearing you say that you didn't try to replicate any of those sorts of things.
No, absolutely not. I think this is the first sort of production on the radar, as it were, that has an MC. We cast an African-American. And it was really exciting to do that because it gave us real opportunity to understand the plight of African-Americans in Berlin in that time, of which they were going there. Josephine Baker was quite a source for us in that character. And I cast the best people, the people with big hearts and great musical theater chops. So with Liz Pierce as Sally Bowles and Hunter Ryan Herdlicka as Cliff and Michael Murata as Schultz and Mary Gordon Murray as Fraulein Schneider and then Nathan Lee Graham as the MC, we just have this core group of principal actors that are just triple threats, quadruple threats, sing, act, and dance all at the same time. They're just really wonderful. And I don't want to ever do a show that evokes someone else's interpretation. And so we can't ignore, certainly, the fact that other people have made these roles iconic in some way. But at the same time, we just take that information, filter it through our own lens, and send it out.
Well, those of you out there listening, this is your chance to see a newly imagined production of John Kander and Fred Ebb's Tony Award-winning musical Cabaret. It will be on stage at the Cincinnati Playhouse through November the 16th. For more information about the theater and this production, you can go to WVXU.org. My guest this evening has been director and choreographer Marcia Milgram Dodge. Great to have you here with us tonight.
Thank you, Rick.
And great to have you working here in Cincinnati, so thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.
Word. words sound false when your coat's too thin. Feet don't waltz when the roof caves in. So if you kiss me, if we touch, warning's fair. I don't care very much.